You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 37. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I want to help save the world and save your health with a plant-based diet. I am honored to be here, and I am honored that you are here. I appreciate every single one of you, so thank you. Life has been very busy, and I'm trying to finish my cookbook here in 2018, and it's flying by. Time is flying. Actually, it's kind of hard to call it just a cookbook because I'm going to share many personal stories that I have never shared before because I want it to be more than just a cookbook and maybe a book that will inspire people to take chances in life despite all those things that hold us back. And my number one goal with my book is to spread hope and healing to those of you who need it most. In other news, I am scratching my head because why the heck are people in the United States still getting sick from the romaine lettuce E. coli outbreak? The outbreak's connection was first announced on April 13th, 2018. And here we are in the third week of May and still being told not to eat romaine lettuce. According to the FDA, which is our Food and Drug Administration, romaine lettuce has a refrigerated shelf life of 21 days. And some people just started eating the contaminated romaine lettuce in May. And they contend that it is highly unlikely that newly contaminated lettuce tied to the outbreak entered the market after April 13th. A refrigerated shelf life of 21 days. I don't know what kind of refrigerator the FDA has, but there is no way my romaine lettuce would ever last 21 days in the refrigerator. So something is a little fishy to me. It sounds like some contaminated lettuce stayed on grocery shelves. At any rate, for any of you in the USA, I would still stick with other varieties of lettuce for now. Now, on to today's podcast, Nature's Best Remedies. In podcast number 14, Ordinary Foods with Extraordinary Health Benefits, we discussed five healthy foods that could improve blood pressure, lower cholesterol, improve blood sugar, and promote longevity. Those foods were hibiscus tea, turmeric, curcumin, apple cider vinegar, garlic, and cinnamon. It is actually one of my most popular podcasts, so if you missed it, you can find podcast number 14 on iTunes or on your favorite podcatcher, or on my website, ordinaryvegan.net. So today, I thought I would share more natural food remedies and uncover more ways to stay healthy naturally. Let's begin with one of the most popular and widely used natural remedies, green tea. I have to admit, I didn't know much about green tea before I researched it for this podcast. All I knew is that everyone said green tea is good for you. But why and what exactly is green tea anyways? Green tea is made by lightly steaming freshly cut leaves of Camellia sinensis. What makes green tea special is that it's high in catechins, and most notably, something called EGCG, which stands for epigallocatechin gallate, which is a super powerful antioxidant compound. Catechins themselves are a type of flavonoid and are also known as antioxidants. And as we have learned here on this podcast, flavonoids are one of the largest nutrient families known to scientists. Antioxidants are so important because they protect the body from free radicals that can play a role in everything from heart disease to cancer. Green tea is sold in many forms, such as tea bags, loose teas, matcha powder, bottled teas, and even supplements. Catechins, specifically the compound EGCG, are also found in red wine, coffee, and some berries. And that is the reason that foods such as blueberries and dark chocolate and red wine have also been touted as having health benefits. But let's stick with the green tea for now. Because of green tea's high concentrations of EGCG, its popularity has soared in the last few years, mainly because studies have suggested that EGCG may be effective in weight loss and even help you lose abdomen fat. In 2009, there was a weight loss study done by the Journal of Nutrition. In this study, half the men were given EGCG in green tea form, and the other half of the men drank black tea with lower levels of catechins. The results of the study showed that the green tea drinkers with the large amounts of EGCG lost 5.4 pounds, and the black tea drinkers with little amounts of EGCG only lost 2.9 pounds. And those men whose diets included more EGCG also lost more weight in their abdomens. And that was one of the many studies that connected green tea with weight loss and belly fat loss. Other studies have suggested that green tea is also associated with a 20% reduction in the risk of coronary diseases, strokes, and can help lower cholesterol. And all of these studies are what helped grow the popularity of green tea. But when foods become popular, things can become iffy, because everyone wants to make a buck off of green tea, and now quality concerns are an issue. Two things that we have to worry about are: does the product really contain the labeled ingredients? And is the product free of lead and other heavy metals that can accumulate in green tea leaves? Because tea leaves from particular areas like certain regions of China contain substantial amounts of lead. The lead in green leaf tea is believed to come from industrial pollution. And pesticides have also been found in green tea. Just an FYI, in comparison, a study of green teas produced in Japan found no lead. You also need to be concerned about caffeine. While caffeine occurs naturally in green tea, levels may vary widely among products and not disclosed on the labels. Try to buy green tea with low levels of caffeine. These problems are also a big concern in green tea supplements, and I always recommend not taking supplements. Drink your green tea. Don't take it in a pill, because in my opinion, the additives that go into making supplements are always risky. The last concern when purchasing green tea is: does the green tea you purchased really have the levels of EGCG to acquire the health benefits? According to the United States Department of Agriculture, a cup of loose green tea leaves contains approximately 127 milligrams of catechins. In a recent lab study of total catechins and EGCG in various green teas showed that catechins in EGCG levels varied, and many consumers weren't getting what they paid for. The top three green teas that did include good amounts of EGCG and catechins were Lipton Pure Green Tea. It had 150 milligrams of catechins and 79 milligrams of EGCG. Also, Trader Joe's decaffeinated green tea had 141 milligrams of catechins and 70 milligrams of EGCG. And Kirkland Signature Green Tea had 145 milligrams of catechins and 27 milligrams of EGCG. And heavy metal contamination was not found to be a problem with any of those three. By the way, this is not an advertisement for those teas. Those were just the top three teas that they tested, and I wanted to share those with you. Please remember, not all green teas were tested, and maybe the green tea that you drink has high levels of catechins and EGCG. The way to find out is email the manufacturer. They will tell you. But always remember, not all green teas are equal. I recommend 2 to 3 cups of green tea if you're looking for weight loss, to lower blood pressure, help reduce cholesterol levels, reduce inflammation and arthritis cases, and help prevent cancer. Green tea studies have also shown promising results in improving memory loss and helping to prevent Alzheimer's disease. The next natural remedy, especially for anyone who wants to improve their athletic performance, is beetroot juice. The beetroot, to be exact, is the portion of the beet that we commonly know and refer to as a beet. Beetroot juice is packed with nitrates, which your body converts to nitric oxide, which is a molecule that enhances blood vessel dilation, which increases your blood flow capacity and lowers the amount of oxygen your muscles need to run faster. One study gave physically fit men and women 1.5 cups of baked beets 75 minutes before running a 5K, and another group got none. They started out the same, but during the last mile of the 5K race, the beet group pulled ahead compared to the placebo group. And although the beet group were running faster, their heart rate wasn't any higher, and they reported less exertion. How about that? Well, that isn't all. A recent British study showed that patients with high blood pressure who consumed only 1 cup a day of beet juice had a significant drop in blood pressure. And there have been reports that people who suffer from high blood pressure have reported normal blood pressure levels after a diet of beet juice. And some have even been able to discontinue their prescription medication altogether. Another health benefit is blood sugar control. Beets naturally have a higher sugar content than other vegetables. And even with that said, studies show that beets can enhance insulin sensitivity and better regulate your blood sugar. Other studies have shown that beets can be helpful in healing nerve damage in people with diabetes because of its lipoic acid. Beets also contain high amounts of antioxidants, including beta-cyanin, which gives beets their beautiful color. Beta-cyanin helps reduce the oxidation of LDL, or bad cholesterol, from forming, and studies have shown that people who eat a diet rich in beetroot have a decreased level of LDL. Beets also have large amounts of folic acid and can be beneficial to pregnant women and their child. And getting back to that high nitrate content that helps open up the arteries and allows more oxygen to flow through the bloodstream, this boost of oxygen in the body can help combat daily fatigue. So if you're feeling sluggish, try drinking some beetroot juice instead of coffee. Last but not least, because beets help increase oxygen output into the blood, the brain has better functionality and can help protect against early onset dementia. I would also recommend beet juice if you are traveling to high altitudes where there is thinner air and less oxygen. Who knew that beets were such a superfood? So let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and make a hearty, flavor-packed, gluten-free vegan burger made with beets. All you have to do is roast some beets. You just heat the oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, wrap the beets tightly in aluminum foil, and place them on a baking sheet, and bake them until they are fork tender. That will take about 50 to 60 minutes. Unwrap when they're cool enough, and remove the peels and chop them fine. Add those chopped beets to 1.5 cups of cooked quinoa, 1.25 cups of cooked black beans that have been drained and rinsed, 1 small shallot, finely chopped, 2 cloves of garlic, finely chopped, 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of fresh lime juice, 2 tablespoons of gluten-free flour, or any flour, 2 tablespoons of ground flaxseed, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of fresh ground black pepper, and this is optional, 1/4 cup of cilantro leaves chopped. Then you add 3 tablespoons of aquafaba liquid. If you have never used aquafaba liquid, it is the liquid from cooked chickpeas. You could also use flax eggs, but I am loving the aquafaba liquid for binding. So, in a large mixing bowl, you add all your ingredients. And you could also put this in a food processor, but keep it a little chunky. Then, use your hands to divide the mixture into 6 equal portions, shaping each one of them into a patty. Transfer them to a baking sheet lined in parchment paper and bake for 15 minutes or until the tops are firm. That's it. Just assemble it. I like it on some vegan buns with some spicy brown mustard or Dijon mustard, lettuce, and I like it with some red onion too. But anything goes, and you can use your favorite condiments. Now, the next natural remedy is flax seeds. I often talk about the power of seeds and often spotlight hemp seeds, but flax seeds are the richest known plant source of alpha linolenic acids, also known as ALA. ALA is an essential omega-3 fatty acid, and it's called essential because a diet rich in ALA is needed for normal human growth and development. It can be used to help treat rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, colitis, Crohn's disease, diabetes, and heart disease. It can also help with migraines and skin problems like psoriasis, eczema, and even skin cancer. So, how does it work? Let's start with the heart. Alpha-linolenic acid is thought to decrease the risk of heart disease by helping to maintain normal heart rhythm and heart pumping. It might also reduce blood clots. A study has shown that dietary intake of ALA over a period of 6 years could reduce the risk of a heart attack by as much as 59% in both men and women. Another study showed increasing dietary intake of ALA by 1.2 grams per day decreased the risk of fatal coronary heart disease in people with existing heart disease by at least 20%. As far as inflammatory skin rashes go, ALA has both antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties that could help in the treatment of skin rashes. An overactive immune system response contributes to inflammatory skin rashes. And studies from decades ago suggest that some people with skin conditions may have an ALA deficiency. Urinary tests showed that 22% of patients tested had abnormally low levels of ALA. Also, as we all know, oxidative damage also prematurely ages our skin, causes wrinkling and thinning. ALA enhances our skin's ability to fight oxidative damage and to help you maintain skin health and rejuvenation. Oxidative stress can damage nerves in the eyes and cause vision problems, especially in people with diabetes or older adults. ALA has been used successfully to help control symptoms of eye-related disorders. Just a reminder, as people age, their vision becomes much more compromised, which is why it's important to eat a nutrient-dense diet well before old age to prevent degeneration of eye tissue or vision loss early on. Two large clinical studies indicate that ALA might even help you lose weight by improving the metabolism of fat. ALA can help our bodies remove toxic heavy metals. These are metals like lead, aluminum, and mercury. When somehow we absorb them, they are not only toxic, but hard to get rid of as well. So for example, the mercury you absorbed as a child will remain in your body for life, causing toxic damage the entire time. Last but not least, one of the reasons ALA benefits our physiology is its unusual property of being soluble in both fat in water. This unusual characteristic is called amphiphilic. So, ALA can be absorbed, in a nutshell, in all areas of our body. And that is highly unusual. And the single best way to obtain healthy amounts of ALA is with flax seeds. Because, as I said earlier, they are the richest plant source of ALA. So, how much do we need to raise overall levels of ALA? Evidence from some heart disease prevention studies suggests that daily intakes of between 1.5 grams and 3.0 grams are very beneficial. 2 tablespoons of ground flaxseed a day will provide you with about 1.6 grams of ALA. So I recommend 2 tablespoons a day. Whole ground flaxseeds contain even more, about 2.3 grams for every 2 tablespoons. But whole flaxseeds are very difficult to absorb because of that hard, shiny seed coat. Grinding or roasting whole flax seeds breaks the seed coat, making all the nutrients easier to digest. And you can grind them in a coffee grinder. But I recommend ground flax seeds, 2 tablespoons a day. You can include them in everything from oatmeal to soup. And if you like to bake, you can add ground flax seeds to your baked goods. Flax seeds will add a very mild, nutty taste to anything you use them in. Oh, and please remember to store your flax seeds in the refrigerator so they don't go bad. One last thing I want to discuss today are foods for hearing health. I have some friends in St. Louis who have asked me to talk about this subject, and upon further research, I was very surprised when I read the statistics about hearing loss. Did you know that almost 3 out of every 1,000 children in the United States alone are born with detectable levels of hearing loss in one or both ears? Also, about 20% of Americans, and that would be approximately 48 million, report some degree of hearing loss. And by the age of 65, 1 out of 3 people have hearing loss. If you've listened to my podcast, you probably know I spent my entire career in the music business, and I can't even recount how many thousands of loud concerts like Van Halen, Black Sabbath, and The Who I have attended. Shockingly, I don't have any hearing loss yet, but many of my friends in the music business have experienced it. So when I began my research, I wasn't expecting to find many natural remedies for hearing loss, but I was wrong. If you feel like you're not hearing well, the first thing I would recommend is to make sure you don't have excess wax buildup in your ear, which can be a cause of diminished hearing. I know personally I have to have my earwax removed every 6 months. I don't know why, but I do know I am prone to produce too much earwax. And many people are, but many people don't realize it could be causing some hearing loss. So please have those ears checked for earwax. After they remove it, I always feel like I can hear again. Next, a recent 2018 study done in my hometown of Boston at Brigham and Women's Hospital, researchers examined the relationship between 3 different diets and the risk of developing hearing loss. 71,000 were followed for 22 years, and what they found out is that eating a healthy diet of mainly fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, and legumes is associated with lower risk of hearing loss in women. So eating a healthy diet can protect you from hearing loss. But how about if you're already suffering from some hearing loss? Although more testing needs to be done, folate, folic acid, and B12 have been shown to improve age-related hearing loss. So let's break it down. Folate can be found in spinach, bok choy, asparagus, broccoli, and beans, especially lentils and garbanzo beans. What folate does is help increase circulation, which improves blood flow to the inner ear. Studies have shown that a deficiency in nutrients such as B12 and folic acid can impair hearing as much as 39%, while increasing these nutrients can protect hearing by as much as 20%. Folic acid deficiency specifically has been linked with high-frequency hearing loss. Since B12 is not found in plant foods, I recommend a B12 supplement for hearing loss. I also recommend high folate and folic acid-rich foods like spinach, asparagus, avocado, broccoli, and beans. Once again, especially lentils and garbanzo beans. Also, zinc, which is found in protein-rich foods like pumpkin seeds, cashews, almonds, sesame seeds, tahini, which is ground sesame seeds, spinach, and even dark chocolate, has been found to improve sudden, unexplained loss of hearing. So if you have a hearing loss problem, add more zinc-rich foods to your diet. Foods to avoid include vegetable oils, which can contain too many omega-6 fatty acids. Sauté your food in vegetable broth and create salad dressings oil-free using citrus rather than oil. Also, all saturated fat needs to be eliminated, like meat, cheese, and milk. If you need to sweeten your tea or oatmeal, use stevia or real organic maple syrup. One last ear problem I want to address is tinnitus, which is described as a noise or ringing in the ear. It is a common problem and affects about 1 out of 5 people. Tinnitus can be a symptom of an underlying condition, including a circulatory system disorder like blood vessel blockages. So please make sure you don't ignore the symptoms and have yourself checked out if you have tinnitus. The first recommendation is that anyone suffering from tinnitus needs to immediately cut table salt out of their diet, because sodium chloride in table salt can directly worsen symptoms. Also, processed foods that contain chemicals, artificial sweeteners, flavor enhancers, and refined and simple sugars, they need to be eliminated. Studies have shown that between 84 and 92% of people with tinnitus have a sugar metabolism disorder known as hyperinsulinemia. As a matter of fact, researchers in Brazil treated tinnitus patients who had this disorder with a diet suitable for diabetics. For 2 years, they were instructed to eat every 3 hours, avoid sugar and simple carbohydrates, and restrict their intake of fatty foods, and drink 4 to 6 glasses of water per day. After 2 years, 76% of subjects who stayed on the diet saw improvement ranging from moderate to complete resolution of their tinnitus. Please don't substitute your sugar with sugar substitutes like aspartame, which are sold as NutraSweet, Equal, and Diet Soda. Aspartame is not good for anyone, and it can make your tinnitus worse. The last natural remedy for hearing loss that I would recommend are ginkgo leaves. Ginkgo is a large tree with fan-shaped leaves that has survived more than 200 million years. I recommend a simple cup or two of ginkgo tea every day. You can buy ginkgo leaf tea in most grocery stores, or you can buy the extract. Also, just a side note, if you experience any symptoms of vertigo or dizziness, in 2014, a comprehensive study was done on the effectiveness and safety of ginkgo biloba on patients with dizziness and vertigo problems. And they found evidence that ginkgo biloba could drastically improve the symptoms of vertiginous syndrome, which means dizziness and vertigo. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for joining our Ordinary Vegan Plant-Based Community podcast today. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's podcasts. You can find today's recipe and show notes at ordinaryvegan.net/playlist. Please join our community on Facebook, which is over 316,000 community members strong. And they are an awesome community who loves supporting and helping each other. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. If you get a moment, please leave a comment or review on iTunes. Because if people enjoy the podcast, iTunes will give it a better position and expose it to more people. So thank you in advance for doing that. As many of you know, I now sell the food supplement vegan CBD oil made from the hemp plant. Many people feel that CBD oil offers a more natural way to lower pain and treat anxiety because of the way CBD acts in the body naturally. There is also some promising evidence that CBD can even help with addiction problems. A recent study posted to Addictive Behaviors found that smokers who used CBD oil smoked fewer cigarettes and did not have any additional craving for nicotine. This study recommended that CBD could be a potential treatment for nicotine addiction that warranted further exploration. I will put a link to the study in this week's show notes. If you suffer from any anxiety disorder or chronic pain like arthritis, go to OrdinaryVegan.net to learn how CBD oil from hemp can help you. Thanks, everyone. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.